Hey everyone, I'm Deanna Butcher with Spirit Talk Radio, and I want to give you guys a special thank you so much for tuning in today and listening to the previous broadcasts. There's been a lot of interaction, and so I have kind of compiled, I guess, everyone's questions in the last two broadcasts. If you guys haven't checked out those broadcasts, you are still able to by visiting the archives, and they will be held there for you. And so today I really wanted to talk about fear. This was kind of a really common question that I had received after the first broadcast, and people had said, well, you know, I love what you're saying, and I can conceptualize that, right? I can find what my purpose is. I'm looking for these opportunities. And then certainly taking from the second broadcast that they were spirituals on their spiritual journeys, they were healers, and could understand what it meant to kind of find your brave, really, and be yourself, and what that meant. And they were telling me, you know, many people had come back and said, I love this and I think this is something I can do. But I see myself kind of talking myself out of finding it, you know, finding my true bliss, or maybe I found it, you know, somewhere, you know, I found what I want to do, but I can't take a leap of faith, or it's not a good time. And it's all of these things we keep telling ourselves. So when I asked them, I would say, okay, well, what's holding you back? It was always, I fear failing. I fear what people will think or say. I fear success, like, or not being successful enough, right? It was all based on fear. Everyone, when I ask them, you know, we validate your feelings, as you know, when I do readings, we always validate, we look within, and we say, what's holding you back? And every single person talked about fear. So that's why today we're going to go into fear, and it can hold you back or it can help you soar. And when I was really beginning to compile this journal that I have for myself and the journal of information that I was sharing with people, it really came back to the same few points. Really, everyone could, at one point or another, have this harmonized energy and what fear was and what each individual was experiencing. So although, you know, you might be fearing something different than myself, the feeling really comes back to the same areas, and we're both going to, in essence, deal with that fear in the same way. So no matter what your fear is out there, my lovelies, we can all really take from this from a similar structure. And I really feel that this is something that you too can utilize and begin to implement today to help you with your transformation and your journey. So really, not only was I sharing what Spirit had to say for them as individuals, they were also asking how I overcame a lot of my fears. So part of that I'm also going to share with you. And really, I wanted to start this out with, many have already heard of him. His name is Tony Robbins, an absolutely amazing, amazing soulful energy. And so for those of you who haven't seen him or heard of him, Google him, Tony Robbins. He's an absolutely amazing person. And he had a Netflix original that I had seen, and I really took a lot of inspiration from that as well on my journey. And it was about I Am Not Your Guru is what it was called. And so check it out and watch it and reflect on those moments of what he had done for those people. And, you know, even if you just watch the trailer, you can find that trailer on YouTube, of course, but it's absolutely amazing what he talks about. And really, when it came down to that foundation of how I moved through my fears and how I overcame a lot of things, Tony Robbins was certainly someone that I really looked up to and really began to listen to. He just has this captivating ability to have people to listen. And that was certainly someone that I, again, searched to. But when he came on fear, and I had to search for it again, because I knew I had found for myself, I was watching him, and I found this inspirational moment that he had shared with many people, and it talked about fear. And he said, find something you're more afraid of if you don't do this. And, you know, and these are things about conquering our fears, right? And he said, and two, if we want it bad enough, it'll happen, right? Find your passion. Find out where your passion leads you. And those were huge, right? We talk about, you know, find something you're more afraid of if you don't. It was inspirational and amazing, right? As humans, we're all guided by those senses, by those feelings, right? It always kind of comes back to that emotional response to the things we're experiencing. And fear is one of them. And that can, you know, make or break our decision making, right? Especially if we are in a constant cycle of fear. And it was just so simple. Because he said, number one, you want to conquer your fear? He said, find something you're more afraid of if you don't do it. So it's like, well, you know, maybe if you are having a hard time with your job. And he was saying, well, what if you don't quit your job? What are you afraid of? Why are you afraid of quitting your job, let's say? And one might say, well, I'm afraid of quitting because, you know, what if this isn't financially fulfilling? Or what if I don't find another job right away? So he turns that around and he says, what are you more afraid of than that? And people would respond and they would be like, well, I'm afraid that if I don't try this new thing or this new opportunity or start my own business, that I won't fulfill my own dreams. And then he said, okay, well, use that fear to drive you. If you're afraid that you're not going to find your bliss or follow your dreams or your inspiration or run your own business, that is something that you would fear more than the fear of not doing it. And we talked about this before. You know, you've heard me say, it takes more from us in our energy and it's harder for us to not be our authentic selves than it is to work through it, find out who we are, and be the person that we are. Like, it truly is harder to hold back, to live in fear, to convince ourselves we can't do it, and come up with a list or a book of reasons why we can't, or why we're not good enough, or why we won't, or, you know, then it becomes even, not only do we think we can't do it, then some of us even begin to blame others, right? We can't because of we're taking care of family, or we have kids, or we have other responsibilities, and it's kind of like we kind of pass that blame and we never go further than that. It's that excuse we tell each other or tell ourselves because we're afraid if we take that step and what if we fail. But that's the biggest thing, is that talk to anyone, you know, and you've all heard, you know, J.K. Rowling's story. You've all heard all of these stories, right? She tried, what was it, 20 or 22 times to get published, and people said no to her continuously. And then if she never kept trying, we wouldn't have the Harry Potter series, right? There's those stories everywhere. If we give up and we don't keep trying, we'll never find our bliss. And a lot of times I always come back to that aspect of, well, if someone says no to you right now, it's because the universe is guiding you to something better. They're guiding you. They just want you to understand who you are, find your energy, come back to what you need, want, and desire, what makes your soul happy. Because if we're in that job and we say, well, you know, I'm stuck at my shitty job and maybe I get paid good enough. Yeah, I got weekends off, but I hate it here. I really hate it here. But you won't take the leap of faith and say, well, maybe I'm going to try a fully different career path. I'm going to spread my wings, find my bliss, and find myself, right? And I can tell you, I've done this multiple times. And I was educated to do reception. That's how I started out. And I did that for 7 years. And I said, I need something different. My life was calling to do something different. And I did. I stepped out and I went and I did personal insurance. So I sold home and auto insurance. And I did that for 3.5 years. And the universe pushed me out of that to do something different. And, you know, I wasn't educated to do that, but I was successful. And the universe pushed me towards something else. So then I went into accounting at an oil field company, something completely different than I'd ever done before. And I worked there until I had my second son. And when I did that, I became a stay-at-home mom and opened up a daycare because I knew I wanted to run my own business and I was going to stay at home. We knew that, but I knew I wanted to run my own business. I didn't know what it was yet. I, you know, had the feeling that I needed to serve because when I started my day home, I already knew I was a medium and that I was an intuitive and I was already reading cards at that point. And at the beginning of my journey, I had started for about a year, year and a half, doing free counseling. So I had been doing readings for, again, about a year, year and a half, while I was also starting my business as far as what I do now. I was starting that and running a day home. at the same time. And that took a lot of dedication, and I knew that I was going to be pushed to do something else. And I feared, because, you know, in our area and with the economy the way it was, there were a lot of oil field people that were getting laid off. My husband was in the oil field at the time, and well, now he's returned, but he was the oil field at the time, and we weren't sure about the job security as far as that went. And Spirit told me, Deanna Butcher, you need to close the doors to this day home, and you need to serve people full time. You need to be a healer. You need to charge more and do more things in your business. So at the time, I had increased my rates, and, you know, which was something I was really uncomfortable with doing. But it was all fear, because I said, well, I fear raising my rates and giving value to myself, because what if people don't want to pay for that? Or what if people can't afford that? Or, you know, there were so many things that I was fearing. That I feared closing the doors to my day home, because I knew that was a steady income. And then it got to the point then where Spirit said, no, we need you to close your doors. And they gave me a date. They said, April 1st, you'll be done. And I kept going with my day home. And sure enough, as the universe and Spirit and God always does, they reduced the people that were in my day home, and it became where people couldn't afford, in our area, they couldn't afford childcare. And all around, many of us were closing our doors, and right, there were many of us that had day homes at the time, and a number of people that I had gotten to know and became friends with through this program, you know, they were closing their doors left, right, and center, because people were getting laid off. There wasn't the kids out there, and people couldn't afford childcare, so all the moms were beginning to stay at home now because they couldn't afford the daycare and working at the same time. And so the economy slowed, and then it got to the point where then, no, I wasn't getting replacements. After the children were leaving my day home, I had as many as 5 at one point, and then I had 2 kids that were part-time at the end. And at that point, Spirit had said, no, we're closing your doors April 1st. And they kept telling me this. And they said, prepare. And I kept pushing. I kept looking for new kids. I was doing interviews with families. And then it was like, well, then their jobs were falling through. They weren't able to go back to work. And it was kind of like nothing was falling into place for me. And I was in fear. I thought, what are we going to do if I don't have a steady income? Because although I was doing well with what I was doing, you know, with my mediumship and my readings and healings, I was doing well, but it, you know, it was never consistent, right? For me, I needed full-time, what you could count on. We needed to be okay in case, you know, my husband was laid off as well, right? You never knew. And March 1st, I got the notification from the last family that I had that they were going to be staying at home now, that she was now unable to work. So I was trying to find kids. I couldn't find them. And their last day was the 28th or the 29th, something like that, of March of that year. And I had no one for April 1st. So I said, okay, universe, all right. And this was around the time that I had really gotten to understand who Tony Robbins was. This was a year ago. And this would have been, I guess, about the time that I was watching the I Am Not Your Guru of his. And it was like, what's holding you back? You are holding yourself back. And I said, you know what? He's right. You know, absolutely, he's right. My guides are right. Universe is right. God is right. I keep hearing all of these things, but I wasn't trusting because I was in fear. I feared losing things. I feared not being able to provide for my family. I feared all of these things. So this all kind of occurred, and I said, okay, I'm jumping out there. I kind of took a big deep breath, released, and allowed myself to get the energy, you know, in a positive way. I began to manifest. I began to really focus on a goal that I had set for myself. I began to live less in fear and more in being grateful, being blissful, being accepting of the challenges that were going to be coming for us. And the more I began to live in that state of being grateful that, you know, yes, times are tough, but my kids are healthy. Yes, you know, my times are tough, but I have amazing clients and people that listen to my YouTube channel, and people get readings and healings from me. You know, word of mouth was going out there like wildfire once I closed my doors to my day home and started doing this full time. And it was just April, I started booking, and the first couple of days of April, I was like, no, you know what? I'm stopping everything. I didn't even have, you know, an appointment system yet. I was still writing down things in like two or three daytimers that I had at the time. I wasn't prepared for what the universe delivered. And, you know, and if this isn't just my own account, these are, you know, this has happened to many of my clients as well, where we begin to release our fear and manifest what we want, and again, have that positive mindset and be ready for beautiful things to come. And when there are bumps in the road, to see the lessons and see those things, and it makes you stronger. And I have to tell you, you know, those first 3 days of April, I was worried. But I said, I kept coming back to myself and breathing, and I said, no, you know, the universe has a plan. I know that I am doing everything that I can. And I can't fear that I should be doing more. You know, I was working 18 hours a day on my business. You know, I was up first thing in the morning, 2 hours before the kids got up for school, before they were going to school. So, you know, we were all up 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning. So just before school starts. And I'd still be at the computer in my office, in my healing space until 11, 12, 1 a.m. that night. And that was every day. So I was balancing the kids and the home and my business, and I was working hard on growing that. And that was my focus, right? I had the hustle, I had the intention, and that's the thing, is that you've heard me say this before too, is that, you know, God, the universe, the creator, your guides and angels, right? They don't help you unless you help yourself. And those were the effort that I knew I was going to have to put in to get the returns that I needed, right? I was going to believe and have faith that the universe was going to take care of me, but I also knew I had to do the work. And that meant the time for me putting in 16, 18 hours a day for, I did that for almost 12 months. It was only really up until somewhat recently that I take the evenings off. You know, I don't book myself every night. I don't save myself for every weekend. I don't, you know, I set boundaries with myself and I rejuvenate as much as I can. And certainly, as you guys know, I you know, I'm beginning to feel better now, but I had been quite ill in the beginning of this year. And that was spirit again, telling me you're doing enough. And that in itself even was fear. Right? I feared my health. I feared if I wasn't going to feel better, that I was going to lose business or would not be able to take care of my family, right? I feared not being able to help the people when they did book, because I was in fear of having to reschedule them. And, you know, it was amazing, because those are the things. I was in fear. So I talked to Spirit and I said, Spirit, what am I more afraid of, right? Thinking of Tony Robbins, I can hear his voice in my head saying, Deanna Butcher, what are you more afraid of if you don't slow down? Well, I was afraid of becoming very ill, very, very sick, and not being able to do it at all. I was in fear of then being so sick then that I, again, couldn't work, and then certainly not provide, right? There were so many worse fears in that situation than me actually taking the time. And, you know, if I was having a really hard day with my energy, I would tell my clients what was going on and just being open with that. And I created a strong enough bond with people that they understood. And I had no reason to fear. So then it was like, okay, well, I can reduce my workload now. And I can, you know, not have to sit to do all of this stuff and run the business myself. I got myself a booking system. And, you know, so I was doing, you know, still working hard, but not having to work tediously at doing all of that. And, you know, the universe began putting people in my life that just delivered amazing things for me, new healing modalities, new opportunities, new things, so that every time we had a financial setback, when my husband was laid off, you know, all of these things, when every time something would happen, something would step in within hours to come up with a solution. You know, things have happened and it's like, okay, well, what do I do about it? And I'm not going to be in fear. I'm not going to fear. I'm just going to have faith. And I'm going to be grateful that it could be worse, right? And the universe provides. But we have to release our fear, right? And many of us, you've heard me tell you this if you've seen me in person, is that, you know, think of your hands clenched in tight fists to the point of they're white. Now hold them together so that you're knuckle to knuckle, and it's kind of like creating like this little circle, this little bubble of energy. And it's tense, right? It almost hurts. The vibration is low and it's negative and it's, you know, it hurts your hands, right? There's the bad flow of energy there. So when we're in that fear and we are circulating around this really bad energy and they're almost knocking together and grinding, and it's not a very positive energy, not only is it hard to find faith in those situations and release our fear, we're stuck in this cycle of tight energy. Of it's an aspect of, you know, the waiting for the other shoe to drop. Bad things happen in threes. Like, that's our energy. But what I learned and what I've shared with many others is that just release a little bit. Release your tensions. You don't have to completely open up your hands, but just release them a little bit and do that now. Release them a little bit so that it's looser. Maybe your knuckles are barely touching. The palms of your hands are now just relaxed. They're open, wide open. The vibration is able to flow a little bit. It seems easier. There's not as much tension in your hands. They don't hurt, right? The energy, you can feel the breeze maybe flowing through the palms of your hands. You're able to see space between your hands. So there's some flow of energy there. So we have the opportunity for people who can come in and out of our lives to help us. We have that ability to see it. And you're always hearing me say, you know, where keep your ears to the heavens, right? Wait for those opportunities. Keep your head up so you can see these opportunities when they come to you. Now you're beginning to understand that when our fists release, and then now you go from that place of relaxation to now opening them up, palm up to the universe, to God, to the creator, to your angels. Not only now do you feel flowing of energy, there's no stagnant energy, there's nothing glooming. Your hands certainly don't hurt now. They're very relaxed, they're open. And not only are they open, but then they're also open to healing. You feel relaxed, you feel rejuvenated now, you feel like you can get rest. But then not only do you feel the energy coming to you and receiving, right? That position is the hands of receiving. But then we also turn to think about that as well. But then now our hands might be getting hot in the palms. We might feel the tingling sensation in our hands. We're creating energy. And we're saying, universe, this is my intention. And we're forcing that energy out of our bodies into the universe, right? Manifesting, right? So we have our palms face up. We're relaxing. Maybe we're meditating at this point. And we're able to find our circle, find our center. We're releasing our fear. And we're just dealing with this energy. Making this concept easy, right? Because releasing fear, it seems like a massive project. But it's not. Just look at your hands and feel that energy. And even feel yourself. How your pulse changes. How your heart rate slows. How your mindset feels more relaxed when you become to hands relaxed and palms up to the universe. And you begin to feel that energy. So we're creating energy through our palms and sending it up to the universe. And now we have a very clear understanding, and you've heard us all say this, what we think we become, the energy we put out into the universe begins to manifest. So in this moment when we are receiving of energy and we're able to see the universe there to help us, our guides and angels and our loved ones on the other side, and you know, God, everyone is there to help you. They can hear you, but the beautiful thing is you can hear them. And you begin to say, I'm grateful. I am blessed. I am living with purpose. And those even this year, make that your mantra. Make that your mantra and say, I am grateful. You know, maybe I did lose my job. Maybe I have lost my partner or spouse and I'm grieving. Maybe I'm separated. Maybe, you know, there's things that happen in our lives, right? And then we feel that we can't overcome them. But when we begin to see our energy shift and say, okay, I've experienced these things and I'm fearing moving on, whatever this is, I fear moving on, taking that step. But what if I don't? What if, you know, am I always going to be living in this state of anxiety and depression and hopelessness and, you know, it's just a negative place. that's also something I fear. I fear living in that, right? Finding that something that you're more afraid of if you don't try or you don't take that leap of faith. If we don't release our fears and see them differently, we'll do that. And say, instead, say I've lost my job or I've lost my spouse or I've, you know, separated. Say, I am blessed that I am here to fulfill my life's purpose. Maybe I don't know what that is yet, but I'm blessed that I have a chance to do that in my lifetime. I'm blessed that I have my health or that I have my children or, you know, that I have family that are supportive. There's always things you can be blessed for. I'm blessed to have a roof over my head. I'm blessed to have a puppy who wags their tail and is, you know, so happy to see me at the end of my day. There's always something to be grateful for. And the more we begin to live in the state of gratefulness and purpose, we begin to see that we are worthy. We begin to feel and understand that we can have more than what we feel we're being punished for. And that's the thing. Like, we live in this fear and we think, you know, God, the universe is smiting me that I'm being punished for past life problems, or, you know, I'm being punished for the things that I did in my 20s. You know, all of these things we tell ourselves, right? Or sometimes that people tell us. And we're living in that state of mind and we never see beyond that, right? It's just this cloud of darkness and this thickness that almost chokes us off. We'll never see or breathe past that unless we release the fear and say, what am I fearing the most? Living the rest of my life this way? I can't do that. And I know it's going to be tough taking this leap of faith, but my God, what if I do and it's amazing? What if I do and I meet an amazing new person? What if I meet the love of my life? What if I meet someone and now the world and the universe just has it happened that I was supposed to meet this person, so now I can start a family, right? These are other fears that people have, or they're fearing, you know, leaving their partner now because what if they never have another chance at love, right? Or they fear that if they leave this paying job, they'll never get another one that pays this well. But they would settle with being unhappy because of the money, right? And it's just, you know, the fear that we have on these things, and sometimes it's social things, right? Sometimes we fear, you know, maybe becoming a medium or, you know, quitting our corporate jobs to become an artist or to sing on a stage or, you know, do things that people don't, maybe they don't know that we're passionate about. Maybe they don't understand our journey or our bliss, right? They don't understand that. And we put so much focus around how much money we have, the cars we drive, the people we hang out with. But they're not giving you the bliss. They're almost holding you back, much like the fear. And you know why they're holding you back? Because they have fears as well. And they kind of instill that fear in others, right? It's like, well, I'm not quitting this job because I'm going to lose my status. I'm going to lose all of these expensive things that I have for myself. But yet they have a talent that they don't pursue. Their God-given birthright to be happy, they don't pursue because they would rather have something else out of fear. You know, socially, we are told that we're not accepted if we don't have a nice house, a nice car, a bunch of kids, like all these things, right? But you can be an amazing person, and you know this. You can have everything you need and a one-bedroom apartment, a dog, and a bicycle, right? Like, you can, it's all in how you choose to live your life, and it's all in how you choose to fulfill your bliss and how you want to do that because of what you want. There's nothing is ever unattainable in this world. If we think about this without, if we can think about it where we're releasing our fears, right? And again, coming back to what his thing, Tony Robbins had said, you know, one, we find something that you're more afraid of if you don't. And two, if we want it bad enough, right? So sometimes, like, this passion leads us to finding something. So maybe this is weight loss. Maybe this is, again, maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's quitting smoking. Whatever this is, right? If we want it bad enough, that's when it'll happen, right? Because again, smoking, weight loss, if we really don't want to, it won't happen, right? When we set goals for ourselves and we always fail, or it's like this fad diet didn't work, or I work out every day and eat well and I've been doing all of everything right, but it's still not working. Well, but do you really want it? Or, right? Like, where's your mindset? What is it that you want? Are you passionate about this? And this is another quote of Tony Robbins, and so brilliant. Like, he's like, he is, you know, he says he's not your guru, but he has been. He's been such an inspiration for me. And he says, you know, use your fear or it uses you. And isn't that this, like, isn't that just brilliant, right? If we allow fear to control us, the fear of losing weight or the fear of not being able to quit smoking or all of these things, finding a job, quitting a job so that we can find our bliss, whatever this is. Use fear or it uses you. Find something you're more afraid of if you don't do it. What happens if you don't lose weight? What are the health concerns? Maybe you might lose some relationships because of it, right? You don't know that. So you have to want it enough. And this is a lot of the counseling as well that I work with when people do struggle with addictions or, you know, even abusive situations as well. It's the same thing. It's the fear of not being able to leave, or the fear of not being able to quit. Or what if we try and quit this time because I've quit 70 times before this and I can't quit smoking? Well, but what happens if you don't try one more time? What if your next time is the time you do it? What if the next time is the time that you find your understanding, right? Because spirit, again, they have a purpose. We have our journey that we wrote for ourselves. Sometimes some people, it takes hitting rock bottom, right? What if you've been smoking all of your life and then now you're diagnosed with lung cancer, you're diagnosed with a cancer, but you know what? Gratefully, maybe it's caught in time and you have an opportunity. You get a second chance that a lot of people don't get. So you take that opportunity. This was a scare. This was something that now you're passionate about being healthy and you want to live the rest of your life. So some people it's hitting rock bottom. Some people it's understanding and beginning to live those fears, right? Like sometimes it's finding something you're more afraid of if you don't. And then you begin to live that fear. And it's just, that's that kick that we need to really push forward, right? And it begins to, you begin when you hit that rock bottom, and this is what I see with many people and, you know, addictions and behaviors and, you know, even life in general, right? Say we've made some bad decisions financially and then we get a little bit of money and then we just blow it on something absolutely ridiculous and we keep losing money or we keep losing people and relationships. You hit rock bottom and really the first things people say are like, why are we settling for this? Why do I want to change? What am I going to be doing? Why do I keep living this way? And then it's kind of like you understand that now there's a lesson. So, okay, God, I'm paying attention. I can hear you. Hear you loud and clear. And you're like, I'm so done with this. Fuck it. I'm done. Right? And we get to that point, we get so angry with ourselves, with our behaviors, and we say, I am done. I'm done with this. I'm done. And I'm going to change my life today. And this is what I'm going to do, right? And really whatever this is for you, and maybe your rock bottom's not as far down as others need to go, right? Sometimes it's our journey. That's a lesson we needed to learn in this lifetime, right? We keep learning these things because we keep making the same decision after decision, and we're not learning. And spirit's saying, you haven't learned that lesson yet, so here it comes. Every 6 months, every 2 years, you're reliving these situations because you didn't learn. And then when you begin to learn and you begin to understand that I'm ready to change and I want to change and I'm finding passion in that and I do it, then I can begin to manifest. And that's kind of that next process. And whether you're consciously going into that mindset or not, but we all find change, whether it's, again, you're coming to someone like me to find spiritual guidance and purpose, or you're going to a therapist, or you're going to a counselor, you begin to ask yourself, or someone helps you come to these conclusions to answer these questions. And we begin to manifest. And really what I always ask people, what brings you here? What is it you want to change? And we, yeah, we're going to set the intentions to begin to manifest, but you're overweight, but it's not the weight. What got you here? You know, we're going to heal within first. I'm not just going to put you or tell you to go to a dietitian to get you on a weight loss program or go and, you know, start going to the gym and you do that. And that's the only thing you have to change, right? Because if there's something going on within, if there's an emotional blockage, if there's something that maybe we've experienced some trauma and a result is because now we're overweight, we're not tackling the overweight, the problem of being overweight. We're really bringing it down to its bare bones and saying, okay, we're overweight because we are under extreme stress levels. We have health problems. We have financial difficulties. We have all of these things going on in our lives. And why is it that we do that? Why do we drink a lot? Why do we push people away? Why do, like, all of these things, right? We do these things for a reason. And at one point, we all want change, but we're not sure how, and we live in that fear, right? So I always ask, okay, let's be blessed, right? Coming back to this mindset, be blessed. We're going to be blessed that you are here today because you want change. That's one thing that you can be grateful for. Two, you can come to me and know that you have a safe healing space to come to. You can be grateful for that. So I create this mindset with them that they are grateful for the decisions that they are making to help change their lives and begin to think more positively, right? We begin to change the way we think and begin to become confident. We see our assets, right, within ourselves. And we say, why do I want change? And we spend a moment on that. And then we begin to ask, what can I let go of today that is going to help me for the rest of my life? What can I let go of today? Maybe if I'm stressed out all the time, maybe I can let go of the fact that I'm always helping the guy down the street and all he ever does is come to me when he needs something. Or maybe I'm not going to answer the phone every time so-and-so calls me because the only time they call me is when they're going to drain me of everything. Maybe they're always asking for money. Maybe they're asking for advice and then they never take it. You know, all of these things. What are they drawing from me? So we ask, what can we let go of today to move forward? So we're always looking at those instances. So what can I let go of? Well, I can let go of the fact that these people maybe aren't there for my highest good, so I'm going to let them go. I don't have to, you know, I'm going to set boundaries with them. And that's a small start. But it's going to make you feel so much better. Maybe also I'm going to say, you know what, I'm kind of on a roll here. What else can I let go of? It's like, well, you know what, I can let go of the fact that maybe I don't have to be so obsessive compulsive over the way my towels are folded. That was a hard one for me to let go of. Anyone who knows me knows that my towels were always folded very perfectly. They fit in a certain way. I was color coding everything. All my dishes were put away, color coded. Like I was very OCD. But what I find, and even with other people that struggle with OCD, it's because they live in fear of other things and the fear that they can't control something. And that's the only thing in their life that they can control is seeing these things the same way every day. And, you know, and really in seeing obsessive compulsive behavior as perfection and being able to then see perfection in front of you and that somehow validates the hard work you put into it or validates who you are. Like there's a lot that goes on in your mindset when you have those experiences. So what can I let go of today? I can let go of the fact that my towels are folded, but maybe they're not color-coded. We'll start there. That can be a hard one. Maybe I begin to say, well, what can I let go of today? Well, maybe I can reduce some of my clutter and it's going to make me feel good to donate some of these things, right? I'm going to do that. And then I'll feel good about that, right? I'm not just cutting everything out of my life without getting something out of it myself. Maybe I'm going to say, you know what? I really don't need a lot of these things. They're causing a lot of low energy for me. You know, the feng shui in my home isn't flowing as well as I want it to. I'm going to get rid of a bunch of stuff and have a garage sale. And then the money I spend on that, I'm going to maybe buy myself a nice outfit that I can feel good on. Or maybe I'm going to put this in a fund. And when I reach my goal weight, or when I do these things, I'm going to go on a vacation or whatever, right? I'm going to replace my habits with something positive. I'm going to save money, or this is for that you want. And then I'm going to experience what it is that I want as a reward later on for doing that, right? So I'm not just letting go of a bunch of things that I'm just going to sit there and feel depressed about. I'm going to be excited about doing those things. And when you begin to become excited about letting go of those things today that you can let go of, you'll feel really empowered. And then you kind of keep going back over these questions saying, one, why do I want change? Yeah, I'm doing this because I want change and this is my goal. And then I always ask, where will I find reward, right? So we kept talking about that, and I guess it's kind of really tying into it when we let go of those things. But this also goes into the aspect of, why am I rewarding myself? How is this somehow a reward? Why do I feel like I'm being rewarded for this? What's my reward for doing all of this? What's my reward for putting this much energy into someone that takes from me all the time? You know, you begin to see things from a different perspective and seeing the energy flow, right? So you're wanting that ebb and flow of energy, right? So if this person's always been there for you and now you're being there for them, that's different, right? If they help you, you help them, that's a positive flow of energy. But if someone's always sucking you dry all the time and not giving you in return when you need them, then you have to let them go. So you look for those things. And as we're letting go of things, saying, what's my reward? Why am I keeping this? Why am I holding on to this? Why am I staying in this relationship? Why am I doing all of these things? And it begins to see that reward, right? And then it comes back to always answering, well, I want change, right? This isn't rewarding to me because I want change. So then you begin to say, well, who's with me? Who's your support system? If you don't have the spouse, the children, the partner, the workplace, coworkers, if you don't have that type of support, you can have support in healers, people like myself, people that are, when you've kept your head up, like we talked about in the first broadcast about, you know, looking for opportunities and getting to know new people that share the same goal and aspiration and passion as you do, they become your support system. So it doesn't mean that you lean on them with everything, but you begin to build your team of people. You find your people. That's why it's important, right? And it really pulls through into every aspect of change in therapy when we're looking at, you know, counseling people and ourselves through our processes, because we can't do this alone. And there's always people there. There are people, whether you pay for their services or you find them through, you know, you can find them everywhere. You know, maybe you go to your place of worship and you find support and friends and purpose there. And what's also really beautiful when you're looking to either finding your people, right? Finding people who've been through your passion, or for instance, myself, finding other mediums and other psychics and healers. I can talk to them and say, these are my experiences. How did you overcome this? And the more people that you get on that same journey, again, finding your people, the struggle dissipates and you begin to say, my God, why didn't I do this 5 years ago when I thought I couldn't do this? You will find your opportunity to rehabilitate. You'll find your opportunity to find healing and spiritual guidance, or go to your place of worship and find guidance and purpose there. Whatever you're being pulled to, keeping your ears to the heavens is most important, right? Even when you're looking at, say, fitness and weight loss, and you're struggling with the weight loss and why you want to change and what do I need to let go of today? Well, what I need to maybe let go of is, again, some of my stresses and maybe the way I talk to myself every morning, right? Instead of me looking in the mirror at myself and saying that, you know, whatever it is you tell yourself, that you're ugly or you're too big or whatever this is. Instead, you're going to have a big mantra stuck to your mirror every day saying, I'm beautiful. I have purpose. I have so much love to give. I am worthy, right? Those are the things you are looking at. I had a client come to me who was struggling with self-perception and confidence, and now she has lost quite a bit of weight, actually. But in that, even wasn't necessarily our intention. The weight loss really wasn't our intention. It was about healing and grieving from the loss of a loved one and then overcoming an abusive situation. And so what we had done for her is we had taken a floor-length mirror. She went to, you know, Walmart or whatever and bought like a $7 mirror, leaned it up against the wall, drew her outline with a marker, like just like an erasable marker. And around it, she wrote all of the things, the inspiration that she loved about herself, that she had purpose, that she had beautiful eyes that were seeing to the soul of spirit, and a heart that was open to receive love from her angels. And around her abdomen, there was a lot of focus around her chakras. Like, instead of focusing on her weight, she was drawing the chakras and the symbols and the energy and seeing the color, and it gave her inspiration. And so instead of picking herself apart, now what she could do, come into that mirror every day, stand in her outline, and read all the things that were so amazing and beautiful about herself. And then she began to change. She began to let go of those thoughts, those self-fulfilling prophecies, right? That energy we put into the universe. If we don't feel we're deserving, we won't get the recognition and love that we need, right? And she's like, you know, and we talked about that. And it's like, well, why are you, what is your reward for this? Why do you keep doing this to yourself? What are you getting out of this? And she would say, well, nothing. I'm getting hatred. I'm getting more and more indebted to this fact that I don't love myself. And it wasn't paying off. There was no reward. So we said, well, who is your support system? Who are your friends? So she's like, well, you know, yeah, I have friends that are fitness instructors, but I've been too embarrassed to go and see them. Or, you know, like, there was always a story. She was always too embarrassed to talk about her weight. Or, and then even within her own household, she really struggled with abusive situations. And although now she's removed herself from that, she still hasn't shared that story with people. So although she survived those instances, nobody knew she was going through them at the time. So when she found myself and she found counseling and other guidance along her journey, that was her outlet, that was her support. And the more she began to love herself and she began to radiate beautiful energy, and people then were inviting her out to do girls' weekends, and she went whitewater rafting late last summer, and she's like, I've never done that before. But I did, you know, and it was just absolutely beautiful. She met people on this trip, and then she ended up then meeting her boyfriend. You know, so it was all of these things. It was just so amazing how her life had changed. But if she didn't change and lived in fear, fearing not being able to get out of her abusive situation, she would have never met her new partner. She would have never lost the weight. She would have never found new health, right? Because there were some health issues. She would have never been happy. She would have been so secluded from her friends, she was already beginning to lose them. She was losing her confidence in her ability to do her job, and she may have lost that, right? So there were so many things that she was fearing if she didn't take the leap of faith, right? And now, not all of us are going to have those extremes, but I can show you that no matter what your extreme is, you can still overcome these things and come out of this beautifully. For her instance, and she had given me this quote, and it was actually quite amazing. Her instructor had told her that, you know, when we begin to work out and exercise, the first week is always the hardest. And she's like, well, yeah, people say that, right? Like, everyone tells you, oh, it's the first week is the hardest. And she's like, yeah, it kicked my ass, but, you know, I didn't think about it this way. And her instructor said, once you can get over the first week, that's the most pivotal. So when she asked, well, why? And she's like, because everyone gives up anything. Everyone will give up. If you're going to give up, you'll give up in those first 7 days. And she's like, well, why? She's like, because it's hard. Change is hard. We haven't gotten over our fear yet in that first week. We haven't overcome our obstacles in that first week. So in the first week, each day we're going to be facing struggle and fear. We're going to fear that this isn't working. We're going to fear we're not going to see results. We're going to fear that maybe this costs too much to do. We're going to fear that people are going to look at me on the treadmill while I'm trying to run. Like, all of these things, right? I don't feel comfortable in my own skin. Second week, it gets a little easier. And instead of 7 days of torture, maybe it's only four. And then she's like, after that, by the time you've gone through this for 30 days, it is far more easier for you to handle. And she went through the process, and she's like, this is the first time when I thought about it this way, this is the first time that I've never failed. You know, I've gone through all of this and I did not fail. And she came into this without fear. She went into it saying, you know what, if I have a bad day today, that's okay. I know I'm going to work hard tomorrow. That's my goal. And she would set up for that. She would go. And the biggest thing she told me, and I've heard this from others, and even I know myself, I've experienced this, was that never tell yourself in that first 7 days or that first 2 weeks, whatever this is, even just initial change, never say one day, next week, someday, I wish I had. Never say those things, because you have to change your mindset. If you say that, then it becomes that, right? So when we say that, what happens when we stay negative, right? When we say, oh, well, one day it'll come. One day, next week, someday, we begin to then manifest and think we can never have those things, right? We become irritable. We don't see our opportunities in front of us. Because if we always say, oh, well, one day I'll see the opportunity. But what if your day was today? What if today was the day that Spirit showed you your opportunity, put someone in your life, and you ignored it because you didn't think you could have it? How many opportunities do you miss out on because you tell yourself, next week I'll start. Someday will be the day that I get my opportunity. I'm okay that I didn't get that promotion. Someday they'll recognize me for my efforts, and someday I'll get that job. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing until someday it happens. We become more secluded. We become more irritable. We don't see the changes possible, and we don't see our opportunities. But what if we changed our mindset, right? And say, don't say one day, say today. Don't say next week, but say now. I'm happy and I want it now. I'm not going to say someday or I wish I had. I'm going to say I am happy and I have it. And maybe you don't have the end result, but you have the mindset to get it. It's that mindset of a winner. It's a mindset of a baller. It's that mindset of someone who's willing to hustle and get what they need out of life. And that's a beautiful thing, right? And when we begin to change that, yeah, Spirit sees the hustle. Absolutely they do. And you begin to feel that within yourself. It increases your confidence. People come into your life. You see the opportunities. You're less irritable. Then you begin to be more recognized in the workplace. And then maybe that time when they gave you up on a promotion, it was for your highest good. Because what if you did get that and then you were really stuck in that shitty job for even longer, right? That's a thing. And you know, many of you have even heard this song by Garth Brooks. It's called Unanswered Prayers. And it's so true. Like, what if God gave us the answers and gave us everything we asked for, but we missed out on the things we were supposed to have? Like, it's just, even in that self, when we think about, well, you know, I'm manifesting and praying for these things, but they're not happening. Why aren't they happening? Dee, you said that if I put the effort in, it would happen. And I says, yes. But you have to see your opportunities and understand that when there's bumps in the road, we have to question why. So instead of why is this happening to me, saying, okay, interesting. So where am I being guided to next? This isn't that Spirit's taking away your opportunities or that other people are preventing you from having these things. It's because it's not supposed to happen yet. But when it does, you're in the mindset to recognize opportunities. You're in the mindset to see yourself where you want to be. You have a plan. Right? God's not going to give you, the universe, Spirit, it's not going to give you a 5-year plan if you don't start thinking about it now, right? Why would they? They don't even know what you want, right? Until we can be clear with ourselves and Spirit and God and be clear with our prayers and our manifestations and our direction of our energy. That's when those things happen. Even, you know, as you know, with communicating with angels and Spirit, and our loved ones on the other side, that if we don't ask for help, and we can ask for help on this journey, right? So we're asking for help, but if we don't truly want it, they can't help us. They can't step in and show us the way. We have to ask them, be clear about what we want, and want it, right? They're not going to help us. Again, God doesn't help those who don't help themselves, right? Even if we are feeling vulnerable and helpless, but we still want it, they see it. They see the energy. They can understand that, yes, we've hit rock bottom now and we need it. And they begin to help us and show us that change. There's so much energy that we have in our mindsets. And once we begin to change it, You know, that feeling of, well, you know, it could be worse. Or, you know, yes, I may have lost my job, but, you know, and this was with our family, right? Yeah, my husband was laid off, but he had another job that afternoon, blissfully. And then it turned out that we had learned other lessons in this last year that we would not have learned had he stayed doing what he was doing. He was miserable. Loved the place, right? But the actual details of what he was doing, a lot of stress, a lot of energy. He had to let go and fire friends, fire coworkers, and he had to let go of people in this economic downturn. It takes a lot of toll on people, right? So for him now, you know, it's amazingly different, right? We're now in control of our destiny. We are in control. And of course, you know, I know that we're always in control. But sometimes in those moments, you feel very out of control, out of touch with the universe. And even the most spiritual people still have problems. We all do, right? We can have our pity parties, right? But we always come back to that center, finding my energy, finding ourselves, finding out what we need, and then what we're going to do to find those opportunities and go get it. It's our birthright to be happy. And know that it is your birthright to be happy. And you can't fear that, because it prevents us from becoming our authentic selves. And use it again. Use that fear to prepare you and push you forward. Take the fear down. Dehumanize the fear. It's not. It's nothing. It's a reaction. It's our egos stepping in. It's something, people telling us we can't have something or we can't do it. But why? So people will say, well, Dee, you know, it's my naive bad decisions that got me to this place. So what questions can I ask of myself if I'm supposed to be paying the debt to my bad decisions? Well, but it's not that you're paying debt. It's all in how you handle it. It's all in how you change your perspective and how you change today, right? So what questions are you asking yourself? Were you fulfilling this negative prophecy, these negative ideas, and saying, well, I've got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing because if I don't, people won't think I'm rich or wealthy. If I don't buy a big house and blow my money on fancy cars and jewelry, they think I'm not successful. These are just things. But at the end of the day, you don't stand there wishing that I had spent more money. When you lose it all, you say, I wish I hadn't. And that's the lesson. They're just things. What questions did you ask when you lost it all? What questions did you ask when you made bad decisions? Did you say, well, how am I going to earn all this back so I can keep up this facade and keep living? No. Do you think spirit's going to deliver so you can do that again? Right? Like, if you want change, you have to do this. And it's not naive either to think that the universe is going to deliver because you have faith. It's not a blindness. It's not a blind faith. It's not ridiculous. It's not, you know, certainly not a cop out, because you have to work hard. You still have to work hard. You have to show spirit that you're willing to do this, right? Because people will say, well, I can have faith, but where, you know, where's the energy in that? But maybe they've never experienced faith. They've never experienced what God and the universe can do for them because they never had the opportunity, I guess. And this is their learning lesson, right? So we ask, you know, how can this serve me? And in this moment, I've lost everything. How does this serve me? What is my lesson here? And that's the thing, is how does this serve me? What am I supposed to learn? It's not, you know, that you're being negative on yourself. It's finding out the lesson in that. And then you say, can I be of service to others, myself, or my family and my community? What is it that I can do now to do these things? This is also part of even finding your purpose, right? What brings you joy? And then you ask yourself, well, what does this provide for me? You know, we live in a society, so it's important that, you know, we are financially able to provide for ourselves, but we're beginning to transition. So we're saying, okay, well, these jobs aren't working for us. What is that we need? And we're, you know, and whether you're, you know, maybe you haven't lost everything, maybe you're just feeling stuck, right? You're saying, I'm stuck in a really shitty job and I feel like I can't leave. Or I'm stuck in a relationship and I can't leave. Well, how does this serve you? What is this doing for you? What is this job doing for you? Other than financial, what is this job doing for you? Is it siphoning your energy, bleeding you dry? Or is it bringing you joy? Can you ask yourself, can you say, am I being service of others, to myself, my family, my community? If not, maybe you're in a position that you're working for something and they're, I don't know, maybe it can be a very selfish business that you're working in. I don't know. What your energy is going to tell you this. So if you ask, can I be of service to myself, my family, and my community in the position that I'm in? And whatever that service is, whether you're a server, whether you're a bartender, maybe you're, you know, you're working at the bank and you're giving service to people. There's a variety of ways we can serve people. So what is it that we're doing? How are we helping others fulfill their lives and make their lives better, right? Then you say, does this provide for me? Because again, talking about, we live in that society of being financially dependent, right? We need finances to provide. So in this environment, what are the vibes telling me? Am I able to sustain this? Is this profitable for me? Is it worth my time and hours that I spend in this place or with these people or for this person, whatever your situation is? Is the balance happy? Is it creating the positive energy for the lifestyle that I want? Are the people that still do this happy, or are they stressed? Look around you. Is your office or the environment you're working in full of people that freaking hate their jobs? Or are they relatively happy? They're, you know, they're fulfilling their destinies and they're providing purpose, right? Take a look at them as well. You know, and in the job, if you're wanting to look for another job, because you're saying, Dee, what's the biggest thing you could tell me for advice to say, well, where should I go? What job should I take? Where, you know, where can I find a happy space? When you go into any job, don't look at the CEO. Look at the service people, the waiters, the cleaning staff, receptionists, delivery services, temps and interns. Are they happy? Do they look like they're having, you know, a good day? Do they look like they're miserable in their jobs? You know, a corporation, it can be easily dissected by evaluating the men and women to provide the value. So the CEO or the management team is important, and they're a great goal to look at if you're aspiring to be a CEO. But are they focused on their staff or themselves, right? Do they acknowledge the staff and thank them on any chance they get? Are they there and present in the meetings and they engage with their staff to solve problems, right? Are the waiters, the cleaning staff, receptionists, delivery people, the temps and interns, do they feel validated working for these people? That would be a good job for me. That would be an opportunity to say, okay, well, I'm not going into that environment and I'm not, you know, I'm going to spend some time. This is why I show up 30 minutes early, or I check the place out before I want to go and work there. I spend some time there. Maybe I become a client of theirs if I want to see the atmosphere. I invest a little bit of my time. And I say, and I look at people, and I say, are they happy? How are they being treated? Who's their boss, and how are they treating people? You know, is it a relaxed environment, or is it uptight, and everyone's like, looks like they're very uncomfortable? You know, is it a place that I want to be in? I'm taking a look at the atmosphere. Are they all cubicles and so I like the social activity? Or are they all in closed offices with concrete walls and a tiny window? Is it loud and boisterous or is it quiet and calm? What's the music like? What are the people like? Are they organized? Right, like those are so many things that it seems so mundane and ridiculous. But those are the things you focus on when you're looking to find fulfillment and purpose. Yes, it's important to know how much you're going to get paid. Yes, it's important to know if you get a company car or parking space. But you can't let that make you happy. We don't find happiness in money. Time and time again, people come to me and they say, Dee, I've owned all these properties. I have millions and I'm not happy. I'm alone. I push people away. I have bad relationships. I can't sustain my health. Like there's so many things. So take a look at your surroundings. If you don't like your job, do this. Walk around, take a look, see what it's like. If you're wanting to work at a cafe or you're wanting to go work at a bookstore or you're wanting to go work at a corporate office or an insurance place or an accountant firm or whatever this is, look at the staff. Don't look at the CEO. Don't look at the people who have the money. Look at the people who work to give them their profit. Look at the people that hold that foundation. How are they being treated? Are they being validated? Because if you can tell that they're not, and certainly if the receptionist isn't happy, probably not a good place. Right? Like it's take a look at the people that do the work every day. Take a look at those people. If you can mold with those people, if you can get along with them, right? Get to know them. So and that's the thing, and that's where you find your fulfillment. So then taking that same aspect then and saying, okay, I'm going to go into business for myself and I want to open up my own bakery. So I'm going to go and I say, you know what, maybe I don't know if I can do this. I like to bake, but I don't know if this is for me. So instead of just going to an advisor, you know, which is a beautiful thing. Don't discredit that. You certainly want to get your financial advice. But I want groundwork. So I'm going to go into a bakery and many of them, not the same chain either. I'm going to go to a mom and pop versus chain versus blah, blah, blah. How do they do it? Are they organized? Does it look like they're putting in a lot of effort? How many hours are they spending on these items? What is, you know, asking them a few questions. See if someone will let you work there for a week just to get to understand it. You know, there's a lot of people that will share their story with you, you know, and not from a place coming from competition, but as a place of coming from, you know, appreciating their craft, and they're doing this as a passion, and they'll want to share their stories with you. So if running a bakery is important to you, but you didn't realize that maybe they stay there or they wake up, they come to the shop at 3 a.m. every day to bake, but you're not a morning person, are you going to want to still do that, right? So you're taking a look at the people that are doing the work, how much work they're putting into it, and whether you can still validate that that's for you. So those are good things, right? And then you're not investing your time buying all these things and making decisions financially that might not pay off, right? You wanting to change your job. Again, take a look at those things. You can tell a lot by the energy of the people and the atmosphere. Listen to that. Go in there, meditate, cleanse yourself before you go in. You know, sage yourself if you have to. But come into these places and say, what is the energy telling me? Spend a moment in the waiting room pretending like you're reading a book or reading the paper or whatever. But instead of reading, you're just meditating. People aren't going to notice. But go into that meditation and say, what is the energy telling me? Do I like it or not? If you don't, find another place. Don't waste your time. It's about being effective. It's about moving forward in a beautiful way to finding purpose. Because again, if there's a lot of difficulty in those first 7 days of our journey, we're going to quit. A lot of the time, we may quit. So if we keep going and we keep saying, okay, I'm going to save myself a lot of the time and energy I'm spending in this, and I'm going to quickly evaluate these places of employment or these relationships, right? Is my relationship normal when I can go into these other places and see other people interacting in a very different way than what I'm accustomed to or what I'm used to? You're seeing the differences, so then you know what you want out of life and you can say, that's an opportunity that could make me happy. Let's explore that, right? And again, we talked about in the first broadcast, you know, keeping your head up, you saw a poster for an open mic night and you go to the open mic night and you're just listening to the performances. You're talking to the patrons that come there every week that love this place. You're talking to the servers there that know the people and that know the entertainment. And then you maybe get a chance to talk to the people that are singing on stage at the end, you know, asking about their journey, what their life is like. People will share that information about themselves. And so, you know, you find your opportunities, but then you explore it. That's the groundwork. That's the work you put into it. Those 18-hour days to getting what you want, to being a baller, to being all of these things, to hustle. That's what that means. You know, putting in your opportunities, putting in your time so that spirit knows that, okay, we're on a journey and we're finding ourselves. And let's help them out. Let's show them what they need, want, and desire. And it really does get easier each time. Like, you know, when you're looking forward to something and it's passion and you're driven by passion, I know 18 hours a day seems really excessive, but you're going to be so absorbed in that already. We're already spending 18 or 20 hours a day being miserable and thinking about how much we hate our boss or, you know. So why not replace that energy with being positive and dreaming about our future, writing up blueprints for that house we want to build or whatever this is, right? We're setting our goals and setting our mindset and changing the way we think about those things. And we're solving our problems by doing that. So now we, you know, we go about then learning to understand that when we put in this work and we break it down like that, we're constantly then asking questions and we're answering them very authentically. We begin to meditate. We find a space where we think. And for me, you know, it was the car. I liked just getting in my car, driving, turning up the music. Maybe I wasn't sitting there cross-legged, meditating on my floor with my incense every time. I was in my car singing. I was meditating and clearing my head. And then I was writing down the messages I was getting from spirit or seeing my opportunities, and I would write them down. I carried a journal with me everywhere so I could write down people's names and their phone numbers or their addresses. If there was an opportunity that was shown on a billboard or something, I always had an ability to then record it somehow. When you're wanting to, I guess even as you're answering these questions, and a lot of people come to those pros and cons list, I want to make a decision, I want to make a change, I'm releasing my fear, and a lot of times what's in the con section is your fears. So how can I overcome it? Take a look at all of those cons that you've got in that section and saying, well, how can I overcome that? Look at the facts, leave your emotions out of it, remove your ego. Look at it and from a very logical concept. And when you can do that, it relieves you so much. There's not the stress and anxiety about making decisions. It's not about if you're going to make the right or wrong one. Like, it really allows you to sit there and think about the outcome. And then when you get to those cons, like, so you're going to open up that bakery. Well, the pros are that you love to bake, you like people, you love to decorate, so you're going to have a really nice storefront. But the con is, I ain't waking up at 1 a.m. to go to the bakery. So that's a con. That's a hard no. No, I'm done, right? So you're not putting a lot of time and investment, but then you're clearly seeing it, right? And then you're not dwelling over your process again as you're answering. You know, think quickly. That's what I always say. When you're doing these pros and cons, just go bam, bam, bam. The first things that come to your mind, how do you think and feel and react to those situations? But you got to do it quickly. What comes to your mind first? And those are your first impressions, right? And you got to trust that. And that's where it begins to saying, okay, spirit, I'm ready. Let's sit down and let's figure out what we want here. And let's list this out, right? And first impressions, again, separate your ego so that you can have that impression from your authentic self, right? Looking at it from your authentic self, do you feel the same? Really are able to learn, and no matter how big the transition, if we always think to ourselves first, you know, about this process, and you don't tell, and this is another kind of thing too, I guess, you never tell people what you're manifesting or what you're thinking. And I'll tell you why. You don't need other people's opinions. You don't need that right now. You need to assess for yourself and then go to your greatest support system after and talk about the opportunities. But it's really important to do that because they'll feed into the ego. It's their ego. It's not their life's journey to figure this out. This is you. So when you're looking to manifest something or you're looking to start a business idea, you know, look at this from your pros and cons. Look at this from a positive self. Maybe talk to your advisors, you know, certainly talk to financial advisors, things like that, helping you get the third-party perspective in a professional way. We all have friends and family and external family and all these things that are going to tell us what they think. You're either going to have uber supportive, where they're going to say, you have to do this. This is going to be so amazing. You're going to do so well. That's great to have that support system, but it's not from a logical place. It's from open heart and love, right? So it's beautiful to have that support, but it's not going to be a logical place. You're also going to have people that are going to tell you, oh, that's going to be hard. That's going to suck. You're not going to like that. You're not going to do well at that, because they have the fear within themselves that they can't do the things that they need, want, and desire, or that they would never do it. Just because they wouldn't do it doesn't mean you shouldn't, right? It's not their journey. This is yours. So once you have that outline and say, you know what, my authentic self says that these are the things that I need, want, and desire, and this is what I want, and this is achievable, right? This is legit achievable. I've talked to a lawyer, I've talked to my accountant, whatever this is, and I've answered most of my questions. Now let's see what family thinks, so let's see what my friends think, right? But you don't need someone else's ego-driven opinion. It doesn't mean that they're for your, you know, that they're meaning to be in a bad place. It doesn't mean that they mean you harm. But you are asking those questions of yourself first, and it gives you a better perspective, because think of how many times you wanted to do something and you didn't because someone talked you out of it, right? And then maybe you regretted not ever doing it to begin with, right? And that can be also be your fears. It's like, well, I told, you know, my wife or my husband or my parents that I wanted to do something, but they said that that was ridiculous and I never did it. And now 30 years later, I'm finding out it was my purpose, and now I'm starting all over again at 40 or 50 years old doing what I wish I could have and should have done in my 20s, right? Like, you don't want to live with regret, and you'll never regret trying. You know, spirit always tells me that. You'll never regret trying. You can find as well, when you talk to people, who your real support system is. Because then this is something as well, when we're talking with our family or our friends or whoever this is, what questions are they asking? Are they giving you an opinion, like a yes or no response? Or are they going into this authentically too, right? Are they asking you full questions and seeing value in your responses? Are they, you know, saying, okay, well, I can really see you opening up that bakery and I love the stuff you bake. Are you sure that you can do this alone? You know, do you mind? You know, from what I've learned, you have to get up quite early, I think, or stay really late to bake for that day. You know, is it something that you want? And if you don't, they help you come to those conclusions logically, right? So we all have our support system and those people that we know we can rely on. So that's a beautiful thing. But again, going to them afterward, and that's how you, again, how you begin to know who's there for you and who isn't, is based on their responses, right? If they're always telling you yes, or if they're always telling you no, both ways are bad. If they're not asking those questions to say, well, what do you feel? If this were the situation, how would you deal with it, right? So there's value in that, and they're helping you with that value. So now we've learned now to come at our fear and not let it hold us back, and how it's going to help us soar. It's an absolute beautiful thing. Fear, and again, you know that when I do readings, even for my own self, fear for a lot of people could scare you, could be negative perceived, right, as a low-lying energy. For me, when we fear something the most, it's because it's what we're supposed to do. It's because we're close, right? We're so close. It's that mountain peak. It's the fear of getting to the peak of that mountain because we don't know what's on the other side. Or we fear getting to the peak because what if something at the peak is going to prevent us? You know, we're going to get hurt or we're not going to make it, right? But when you get to the top and you see how far you've come and you see what's on the other side and you can see what everything around you, you see your opportunities around you, you see everything that you've gained and lost along the way, and it's a really beautiful thing. Fear can drive you in a beautiful way, in a more of an adrenaline beautiful way, if you allow it to. Use your fear or it uses you. So I'm going to leave you guys with that. One, find something you're more afraid of if you don't. And two, if you want it bad enough, your passion will lead the way. So there you have it. That is another broadcast from Deanna Butcher of Spirit Talk Radio. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in today. And don't forget to check the links and check out my website, divinereadingsbyd.com. If you are looking to overcome fear yourself, I am here to help you on your journey, my lovelies. So check that out as well and stay tuned for our next broadcast. Thank you and many blessings.